It's religion today, it's ideology today, and our secularist friends also have a faith.
Some kind of Disneyland fantasy.
I know how this is going to get heard in the secular world.
Where the pseudo-Christian masks are off.
That's nonsense, ladies and gentlemen.
Apologetics isn't just about giving answers to other people's questions. It's also about learning to question other people's answers or even question the question itself.
In a Christian worldview.
Well, welcome to Quantum of Solace, which is the first in a long time since I've been on sabbatical, and it's also the last. But don't panic, because a lot of people have been asking when we were going to do this again. We're going to move it away from the Solace platform, and it's going to be tied in with the Wee Flea, with the blog, and we're definitely going to do it every week. A similar format, just looking at some of the current issues in today's news and trying to discuss it from a Christian perspective. So,
but to listeners, you don't actually have to do anything. Basically, just keep subscribed to this feed and David's new podcast will just come up into your phone. It's just going to be called Quantum and it's going to be the Wee Flea podcast.
Absolutely. Now, it's good for me to be back in Scotland, back in the UK after being in Australia for so long.
You finished your book. You got your book done and the manuscript's off to the printers.
Off to the printers.
Right.
By the way, if anyone's interested in that, it's a book for 15 to 17 year olds. It's probably going to be called ASK, Ask, Seek and Knock. And it's really a series of questions.
I see what you did there.
Yeah. Very good. See, I'm good. Now, someone else is visiting the UK.
I'm very consistent. I'm a very stable genius.
Trump's in town. He's over on his UK visit. I loved the story in the Herald, the headline in the Herald this morning. Americans in Scotland are warned to keep a low profile on account of the risk of violent protests.
And that shows the level of dumbed-downness, stupidity, inanity, and hatred in our society, which is supposed to be, you know, love trumps hate, and people are being warned about hate.
We're so tolerant.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
I'm going to Scotland.
I mean, I wrote, which we put a link to, I wrote a letter welcoming President Trump because he should be welcomed as President of the United States, which is our closest ally. I also invited him to church, so I'll let you know if he turns up on Sunday.
You're just expecting him to turn up, and because Mike Pence did that when he was in Australia, didn't he? Just turned up, 30 bodyguards and all, just without any prior warning. So
yeah,
maybe Trump's going to get up early on Sunday morning in his golf hotel.
Turnberry in Scotland, which is a magical place, one of my favorite places.
And he's going to say, right, we can make it. Come on, guys, let's go.
He's going to come up. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how that goes. But he has done one thing good this week.
What's that?
The
annoyed everybody. Called out Angela Merkel.
Oh, that was hilarious. And shall I also say, it may have been hilarious, but it was also true in that sense. And here's the thing.
We're kind of all criticizing him, but you know what? He was right.
Well, you know, half the German tanks don't work. They do their NATO exercises with brooms. That's not a joke.
And we're all panicking that Russia's going to turn off the gas.
Yeah. I mean, he overstates things. Of course he does. You know, when he says Germany's controlled by Russia. No, it's not.
No, it's not.
But Russia has a phenomenal influence in
Absolutely.
Germany. Absolutely. So, no. I mean, his style of working is to go and say these things that people know to be true and you shouldn't say them. And then people say them behind closed doors and try and work it all out. He does the opposite. He says things that are true that you shouldn't say in public. And then when they actually meet together, it's all friendly and it's all wonderful. But I mean, the bottom line is it works.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
The Germans are going to double their spending. And
remember the word, $33 billion more they're paying.
But no, the thing that he's done is his nomination of Judge Brett M. Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court looks to be a very, very good one. He is apparently a brilliant lawyer. He's also Catholic, conservative in many areas in terms of morals. I mean, the fact that—
Is he another Antonin Scalia?
Yeah, I think that's the hope. And he's a constitutionalist and it looks as though, well, the Democrats are gonna go nuts trying to prevent him being appointed. I mean, their only problem is there were people who would absolutely definitely have voted against Roe v. Wade. We don't know what he will do, but his record is not to promote abortion. So that looks like a very good, and the bizarre way the American system works, in a sense, the two Trump Supreme Court appointees, and there could be a third, will shape American life for decades, probably. Someone else who's returning to the UK, and that's, of course, the England football team.
We're not creative enough, we're not positive enough.
It's coming home, it's coming home, it's coming, football's coming home.
We'll go on.
I'm Scottish. You're Scottish. I grew up in a culture, which some people still have, of ABE,
anyone but England.
But this time I was actually supporting England. I'm very impressed with their manager. I was being impressed with their team, and I was really disappointed that they lost last night to Croatia.
What did you make of the response that you're seeing? For example, there's a lot on social media of Scots, you know, almost mocking England now. I mean, it's something I used to suffer from as well. There's almost like a in the Scottish psyche, there's like a bitterness in the heart, really. It's like a weed in the heart that needs rooted out, isn't it?
Well, I think it's there, but I think the other problem that occurs with this, people go, it's just banter, it's just sport. No, it's not.
Yeah, it's a cover. And, out of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Sport and politics are very, very much tied together. And we see this in lots of different ways. Now, I've got a video that's up on my website on the blog, of Paul Watson, the kind of controversialist, he's got just a brilliant.
I don't know who he is. Who is he? Paul Watson.
You obviously are not down with the kids, man. I mean, there are millions of people follow them. He's one of these YouTuber guys, right wing, but actually very, very fascinating, very, very good communicator. And a bit crude at times, certainly not Christian, and lots of things that I would disagree with. But on this particular one, he points out several things that are, you know, he's quite insightful. But I mean, he's very intelligent. And one of the things he points out are the number of people who are moaning about England beating Colombia because it was racist, which is just hilarious.
So England beat Colombia. And that was racist. Even though half the England team is black or mixed race, and several of the Colombian players are white, doesn't matter, still racist.
Colombia lost and racism won again! I'm 98% sure the ref of the Colombia-England game is racist. The Colombia versus England game was so rigged, stupid ref is racist and gave like 10 yellow cards to Colombia. So we can all agree that the ref for the England versus Colombia game is racist, right?
Yeah, the ref was racist. It had nothing whatsoever to do with the Colombians being dirty, cheating little did it.
At the pub watching the England matches, the only POC in the room, I really want Colombia to win, so the racists don't get their way.
Yeah, mate, you really showed those racists. I mean, Sweden's team looks pretty homogenous. Maybe them reaching the quarterfinals is another foreboding sign of white supremacy. Or maybe it's just football and you're all a bunch of pedantic idiots.
And then the other, you know, and then people saying, we don't want England to win because it will encourage Brexit, which shows the obsession that Brexit has become with some people.
I wanted England to win because we would have seen Scottish independence within 10 years as a result of it. Do you know what? I was actually quite disappointed. I would have loved to have seen England win it.
Yeah, and then I think the politicising of all these things, it's really, really bad. But to me, Watson's video shows up the insanity and the folly of the culture that we live in.
Your seething resentment that a generation of young people constantly lectured about how ashamed they should be can finally feel good about their homeland. Your seething resentment that the country is rallying around a flag that isn't that of the EU. Your seething resentment that the England team is diverse because it means you can't demonise patriotic pride and populist nationalism as being a form of bigotry.
By the way, one small point that he makes that I thought was interesting was about Wimbledon.
So men and women get paid the same prize money, yet men work longer hours. Men play best of five sets, women play best of three. The gender pay gap is real.
Men's prize money and the women's prize money is exactly the same, yes.
Yeah, I know, but the men play more sets.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So they play five sets, so until the women are playing five sets. Although I'd rather watch paint dry than watch most women's tennis matches
for five
sets.
We're going to get emails, we're going to get phone calls.
That's fine. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Because male and female are going to be redundant terms. Because again, this is the big issue that's going to continue to predominate. And that is the question of identity politics and the question of particularly gender self-identity. Now, guess where I was this week?
You were at the Scottish Parliament because you told us on Monday and we were praying for you so that you could go. What was that about?
Well, I was really at St. Andrew's House, which is the Scottish government's civil service. So I was meeting with their top civil servants to discuss this gender self-identity bill. I'm not going to go into details of the meeting But suffice it to say that the proposed bill is confused. It's going to be self-contradictory.
What bill are you talking about?
It's the
listeners who don't know.
Gender self-recognition bill.
Right. The Scottish government's
Gender self-recognition
bill, where people would be able to just self-identify whatever gender they want to be.
Yeah. And here's the problem. The problem is this. The Scottish government haven't a clue what they're doing. They haven't a clue what they're doing. They don't know what the implications are going to be. At its best, it's going to be self-contradictory.
It's going to drive a coach and horses through virtually every other piece of legislation that exists, particularly equalities legislation.
Yeah. And also, I mean, I just think the harm it's going to do. Now, there's that. Tie in with that as well. Did you see the Monty Python star, Terry Gilliam? Did you hear what he said?
He's given up wanting to be self-identified as a white male.
Yeah, because there was a complaint about in BBC Comedy Now, we wouldn't have six white males, hence Monty Python. You know Monty Python?
Absolutely.
I still think their prescient sketch in Life of Brian about the terrorist who wants to be a woman.
And why are you always on about women, Reg? Yeah,
I know. But he's come on and he said this: I no longer want to be a white male. I don't want to be blamed for everything wrong in the world. I tell the world now I'm a black lesbian. My name is Loretta and I'm a BLT, a black lesbian in transition. That's brilliant. And it continues.
But in jest, he makes a serious point. For example, the Scottish government want to have 50-50 gender equality on corporate boards.
Yeah.
You've made the point before that actually if you can self-identify and there's no tests involved in it, is that just going to be an exception?
Well, just a couple of other news items. The World Health Organization have now decided that transgender should not be a listed psychological illness. On what basis? They say science. Actually,
no, it's politics. It's the soft power being exercised by political lobby groups and pressure groups.
And the transgender groups are saying, we've won, it's a victory.
And the Twitch hunts that get called down on anyone who disagrees with them.
Yeah, so it's got nothing to do. I mean, again, speaking with the Scottish government officials, they know it's rubbish. They do know it's rubbish and they can't say it's rubbish, but all this pressure that comes in different ways. But there can be a fight back. There was a parent who objected to a school LGBT event in Croydon, and many parents objected. One parent saying, for example, that her son was under 10 years old, was too young to be taught about homosexuality and transsexualism, which, yeah, of course. But the head teacher then went on and said, well, this is a key part of promoting fundamental British values. When did they become fundamental British values?
When the Tory party changed the policy.
And said that those who had concerns were guilty of spreading hateful messages.
And that's the key.
Yeah.
And so as soon as you define something as hate speech, then you and I are going to jail.
Well, I said to the Scottish government, they were asking, what did I want? And I gave them a list of things. And one of them was, I prefer not to go to jail for expressing an opinion, which is the standard opinion of most people in this culture. And also, it's a scientific one. You know, I mean, in my own congregation, we've just had a couple who've had twins. One's a boy, one's a girl.
Fantastic.
Wonderful. Absolutely brilliant. But I absolutely know this. At Nine Wells Hospital, the midwife or the doctor did not lift up the girl and say, well,
we're not
do you know,
sure.
we'll make sure this one a girl. We'll assign this one to be a girl and let's have one of each. We'll assign this one to be a boy.
Oh, that's my pet hate. It's not, gender isn't assigned at birth. It's assigned at conception.
Yeah. Yeah. And all that before. So, I mean, there's a whole range of different issues than that. Mm. One other tied in with that is freedom of speech. John Bercow.
Yeah. His comments that LGBT rights must trump religious freedoms.
I mean, John Bercow is himself a bully.
Why'd you say that? Back that up.
All right, I'll back it up. He has been accused several times of bullying behavior within the House of Commons.
All right, that's slightly different, listeners. Thank you for that. He says that without prejudice.
No, I think he's a bully. And I'm totally with prejudice. I do. I think he's one of these people who tries to intimidate people. And I think this is exactly what he's trying to do here. This is a very much bullying agenda. So what he's saying to Pink News is, you go get him, because actually religious rights, forget that. LGBT rights, whatever you want, they go first.
Why? Right, okay, what's the fundamental mistake that he's doing? He's assuming that religious rights are just something that applies to just religious people. Most people aren't religion, and he's not understanding this is freedom of thought. This is freedom of belief. And that is something that everybody should be
He's doing, he's putting a hierarchy of values, and he's saying right at the top is LGBT, and anyone who dares to disagree with any aspect of the LGBT agenda is is equivalent to being racist or anything else.
Well, and what about the lesbians who disagree with the transgenders?
Don't ask for consistency. That's all I'm saying. These guys are not going to give you consistency. Let's move on just to speaking of consistency. And we do offer to come up with ridiculous things sometimes, but this is something that comes from the Philippines, whose president, Rodrigo Duterte, who some people admire as a kind of strong man, a right-wing strong man and so on, but his pronouncements have become even more bizarre. So he attacked...
More bizarre than Trump.
Oh yeah, he's way beyond Trump. He's attacked creationism. He called God stupid. And he said that he will resign if anyone can prove that God exists. He attacked the concept of original sin, which he said taints even innocent infants and can only be removed through baptism in church for a fee. He's obviously had some pretty bad theology.
You can spot the Roman Catholic influence there, can't you?
Well, yeah, and unfortunately he was also abused by a priest as a child.
And there we go. Yeah.
So he asked, where is the logic of God there? Well, the logic of God isn't there. That's the point. But I mean, it makes you shiver a bit when someone mocks God, even if it's a false understanding, because I just think of Sam 2.
Yeah.
You know, the one who sits in heaven laughs.
Aye.
You know? Watch this space with that particular one. I just think it's a level of blasphemy that
only
makes me shudder for him.
Yeah, it's a matter of time, isn't it? And it's also for the country as well, isn't it?
Yeah, so for the country as well. It's just awful.
The Lord causes our politicians, our political leaders, our kings, our princes to wander in trackless waste grounds, doesn't he? And that's really what the future is looking like for...
Yeah, okay. I wasn't going to talk about Brexit, but I am going to...
Brexit's not happening now anyway.
We're going to say something. Well, here's the problem. Let me just say one particular thing about Brexit. I mean, I'm fed up of the whole thing. I'm fed up of the vitriol. I'm fed up of the abuse. I'm fed up of the dumbed-down-ness of the conversation. I'm fed up of the lack of intelligent conversation. But one thing, if you want to know what's happening, I mean, I will write some more stuff about it. It's simply this. That the people of the United Kingdom, to put it in a nutshell, the people of the United Kingdom overall voted for the United Kingdom to leave the European Union. The people who govern the United Kingdom don't want that to happen.
Yeah.
The vast majority of them voted for it not to happen. They don't want it to happen, some of them because they genuinely believe in a European Union. Most, I think, because they're employed by the European Union, their positions of power, they benefit from the EU a lot. So they don't want it to happen.
What's equally troubling, though, is the number of people who are prepared to do anything to stay within the EU, and including sacrificing democracy itself.
Yeah. And well, also, I think it could work the other way as well. I'm not, you know, this is not pro or anti-Brexit thing. It's just simply to say, these are the two situations. The democratic vote has gone one way, and the people in power want it to go another way. My view is I cannot see how we will not, in some form or other, stay within the European Union or be controlled by the European Union. And what that will do, I think, first of all, it will destroy the Tory party, but it will end, you know, people were cynical about democracy before in this country.
Yeah.
They are going to be even more cynical after all this plays out. Well, we'll see. I mean, we'll see what happens. Who knows? As I said, you know, God can overrule in all these things.
Trackless.
It's an incredibly dangerous thing to say, we're going to forget about democracy and just leave the governing of our country to the elites, which is I am certain that is what is happening.
I mean, behind closed doors, the politicians must be looking at the chaos that they see being unleashed on this. They must be panicking.
No, I think the chaos is deliberate chaos. I really do. I'm not being a conspiracy theorist here. I just think that if we had been serious about leaving the EU, we would have put in plans for a no deal. We would have done. We know how the EU works. We know how it all happens. It's a mess. A mess means one of two things, and both of them are probably not going to be good. One is that we leave the EU with no deal whatsoever, and the EU will really punish us for that, and there'll be a whole bunch of really bad things happen, I think. Or the other is that we don't leave the EU at all. Or we go Theresa May's way, which will end up being not leaving the EU. Well, leaving the EU in name
only.
But
yeah.
It's a bit like being married to somebody and saying, right, we're getting divorced, but we'll still continue to live together and we'll still get to, you know, that's what will happen.
We'll split the bills.
We'll take the certificate, you know.
All right. There's been one story that's been in the media this week that's really been captivating the entire world's attention. And that's the story of the young boys trapped underground in the cave in Thailand and the dramatic rescue. Yeah. What are your thoughts on that? What do you think?
It's just such an amazing story and just such a wonderful story. And so many examples. And if you like sermon illustrations,
absolutely.
You know, I mean, the teamwork, the, what was involved, being rescued from the pit and all
searching to save the lost.
But there's one person in particular that I do want to mention. He's an Australian anaesthetist called Richard Harris, who is also a world-renowned cave diver. I mean, how good is that? And he was requested to be there by the British diving team. And so he came, and every single day, now get this, every single day, he dived the 3.2 kilometers to where they were sheltering to help the boys. Uh-huh. Every single day. And he came out with them as well. And here's the astonishing thing. His father died in South Australia shortly after he came out of the cave for the last time.
Right.
And he's refusing to speak to the press. He's described as a quiet and kind man who didn't think twice about offering his support. He's also described as an extremely humble man. The amount of weight and pressure that was put on him, I have the utmost respect for everything he has done. He is what I would consider personally one of the most professional doctors I've ever met, and his unique skill sets as a specialist doctor and his extensive experience as a cave diver was quintessential to the success of this operation, which was led very well by the Thai authorities. You know, there are people like that who, you know, there are people who are superheroes. You read about all the time. I mean, we talk about Trump. I'm not saying he's a superhero, but we talk about Trump. We talk about May. We talk about the politicians. We talk about the footballers. We don't. But somebody who doesn't want the media attention and who does that. You know, I
they're the real heroes.
I think that's wonderful. We'll finish with this. Have you heard of Professor Carlos Frenk of the University of Durham?
Not until you told me about him earlier on. He's some world-renowned physicist, yeah?
Yeah.
I must admit, because he was on Desert Island Discs. Yeah. Now, that's not part of my regular radio consumption.
Well, it should be, because you need to be a little bit more civilized, Al. Desert Island Discs is just wonderful. And this particular program was absolutely wonderful. Desert Island Discs, in case you wonder, for those of you who don't know, is a program done by the BBC, which they get somebody relatively famous or well-known in the field to come in, and they tell their life through, I think it's 7 records or pieces of music they get to choose. And so they're interviewed around that. And it really is beautiful. This one particularly was really, really good.
What struck out from you from this interview then?
He's one of the best-known physicists in the world, one of the best-known cosmologists in the world, if not the best. And he was asked about believing in God.
Professor Frenk, you said once that you do believe in God, but not while I'm working. Tell me more about that.
Well, I think one of the most amazing things I've discovered as a cosmologist is that the very same laws of physics that govern phenomena here on Earth, for some reason, these laws apply not just in our laboratories here on Earth, but everywhere, at all times and at all places. And here is where God is to be found, in the universality, in the regularity of our universe.
I mean, are you a religious person? Do you think there is something greater?
Yes, I think that God was a physicist. I don't see how the order of the universe can be explained intrinsically within the universe itself. Now, I should hasten to add that in physics, we don't provide you with any evidence in favor or against God. So physics is limited in its reach. It asks some very well-defined questions, and God is not part of those. So that's why I only talk about God out of hours.
I understand.
But to me, if you're a cosmologist, if you look at the universe, well, to me, there's only just one conclusion.
I see.
Wow,
I
mean, that's a statement and a half, isn't
it? Yeah, physics doesn't provide evidence for or against God because physics doesn't ask that question.
The point he's making there, isn't it, is the meaning of any system is not derived from within that system. So if the system is the universe, the meaning of the universe doesn't come from within it. Meaning is something that comes externally. It's given from out with the system.
And he's also saying, though, I think something that's hugely significant, that it's not just, oh, well, I choose to believe in God. He's saying he doesn't see how. It's the logic of the position.
Yeah.
And that's always been mine.
You can't have it with, unless God exists, then nothing else makes sense.
Yeah. So, I mean, isn't it interesting? You know, we get all these rather rabid and militant atheists screaming and yelling, well, there's no God and science proves it. And here's one of the world's top scientists. Well, actually, I believe in God.
You need to introduce Carlos Fink, or whatever his name is, to the Filipino guy, Mr. Duarte. Yeah. You put the two of them together in a room and you've solved Filipino politics.
I think I would like to...
To my friend Kiara in the Philippines, I hope you enjoy that solution.
Well, I think President Duarte and President Trump in a cage fight would be probably...
You're going to put it on a church on Sunday morning? Yeah, there you go. Well, that'll pack them in.
And I could get Putin in there as well.
That's too pragmatic.
Right, folks, we're going to love you and leave you. As I said, we are going to continue with this podcast. It will be, though, done just through... my blog at the Wee Flea. And can I say to those of you in Australia who I met there, it was fantastic to meet you. And I was just delighted that so many listen to the podcast and so many read the blog as well. So we're going to continue doing that. I'm hoping that we'll maybe try and provide a little bit more in the way of how Christians respond to things and so on. Because, I mean, I have my own political opinions about things, and that's, you know, you don't really care about them, and neither should you. My political opinions are my political opinions. I think what we need to do in the future, and what I hope that we will do, is try and reflect upon things from a Christian perspective. You know, basically try and explain different political standpoints. Now, I can't be completely unbiased, but I'll do my best.
As long as you know what your biases are and you understand how they affect you, then you can at least deal with them.
Yeah, my bias is that I'm right. But
everybody on the planet thinks that they're right, otherwise they would change what they think.
Yeah, I'm also the most humble man, but that's not Noah. Anyway, right, guys, it's great to be back with you, and we'll see you next week. God bless. Bye.
Yo. We're part of a culture that really loves to hate us. Every chance they get, they attempt to isolate and debate us. It's not that they don't like us, it's just they don't like God in us. It's common knowledge, and oddly enough, but makes a lot of sense to a lot of us. We completely understand because we used to occupy the same space and lived in a similar type state until we tasted of God's grace. So we continue loving this world that so easily rejects us and passionately press past the lack of their cultural acceptance. And as if there weren't enough problems for us gaining influence, we keep fighting over the issue of what's too worldly of a Christian to make a difference. So no matter how you paint it, or politically campaign it, whether you water it down and drain it, it's really all the same, ain't it? It's the same frustration, same constant segregation. Christians living like aliens, trying to relate with citizens of a different nation. What always makes for a better presentation than bark and bite is a proper understanding of living life filled with salt and light. So we walk this fine line of walking in light of God's kindness and live with a sense of worldliness without the fear of compromising. Loving God and neighbor until Christ comes to split the sky or die in a society hailing Jesus as Messiah. Yep.